Hello, welcome everybody. My name is Anne Mazinga.
And I'm Chris Walton.
And we are the co-founders of OmniTalk Retail. And Chris, we're coming to everyone live from the Shop Talk studio, Shop Talk TV studio.
Yeah, it's a live podcast, Anne. We've never done this from the show.
No, but it's going to be fun. We're going to be here today. We're going to be back tomorrow to do a live version of our Fast Five. So, you know, we're going to warm up the chairs, get a little comfortable.
Yeah, it almost feels like we're on the trade show floor right now.
It does.
It's very loud, very boisterous, but hey, we're going to make do with it. And I think we should introduce our guest.
I think that's a great idea.
So I am pleased to introduce our guest. We've had her on our show before.
Yeah.
I've been using this word a lot. I think it's the second time I've used it today, actually. She is steeped in digital knowledge, Anne.
Like a fine tea.
Yes, she's one of our go-tos for understanding the digital impact that retailers are having on their customers, particularly.
Yes.
She's the one that understands digital and its impact on customers better than anyone. So without further ado, I'm pleased to welcome Victoria's Secret's Chief Customer Officer, Chris Rupp, to the program. So welcome, Chris. Thanks for being here.
Thank you very much. I'm honored to be here.
Well, Chris, we're really excited to have you. I wonder if you wouldn't mind, because I know you. I know your background very well.
Yes,
we've spoken many times before, but you're really an inspiration to a lot of retail leaders and a lot of women working in the retail industry. Why don't you start off by giving us a little bit of your background through to your role now at Victoria's Secret?
Great. Well, you know, I was thinking about this. You know, I started in retail, you know, professionally in retail in 1990.
Yes.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
And the first 15 years were in offline retail, as it was back at the time.
Yeah.
Analog retail, I guess we could call it. I worked at a department store, May Company. If you remember that, May Company. Then Montgomery Ward, if you remember that.
Yes.
And then I went to Sears for 10 years. So that's where I spent the first 15. The second 15 was Amazon and Microsoft.
Yes.
So when you think about it, you know, that's omnichannel. Analog for 15 and then digital for 15. And then the last 5 years have really been in transformation roles, you know, bringing digital capabilities, technical capabilities to retailers.
Yeah, and talk a little bit about your role now. What are you doing
in your
role of overseeing all of customer at Victoria's Secret?
Yeah, what's in your purview totally?
Yeah.
Right. What's all?
Well, let's see, digital, of course.
Yes.
Love that. And, you know, I'm really excited that stores are part of my remit because the ability to create experiences that go across digital and stores, it's just so much faster and easier to get done when you're working with the team so closely to bring those together.
Yeah.
So stores and digital and marketing and customer service. And so it's really all of the, my boss likes to say, the last mile to the customer across all of those surfaces.
Yeah. How is that different than some of the other roles that you've been in previously? Because I think it's important. You have such a unique background. You were at Albertsons. You have been at Amazon. Like, what is different now about kind of your engagement with the customer than in some of those roles?
Well, what's really fun, you know, I think one of the things you're referring to is that I have been in a lot of merchandise categories in addition to different sizes and types of retailers.
Right.
So, you know, I started out in apparel, and then I was in home fashions, and then I was in hardware, and then I was in tractors and mowers.
Really?
And, yes. Yeah. And then I was in electronics, and then cell phones, and then I guess Fulfillment by Amazon would have been all of Amazon's merchandise categories.
Yes.
And Prime as well.
Yes.
Right.
And then one of the, like, originators of Prime, which I feel like is a little known fact about you, Chris. Like, people don't realize. I tell everybody that I know about you, like, Prime! She was part of Prime! She made Prime a thing!
She's a Prime.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I will say, you know, there are a lot of amazing people that worked on Prime for many, many years. You know, I had a lot of effort that I put in for the first Prime Day.
Yes.
And that was a wonderful event of trying to figure out what Amazon could do for customers, given that so many were Prime members and we wanted to make that even more special.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that's what I really love about being in so many different companies and working in categories is that each time you go to a different place, you're really learning a completely different customer behavior.
Yeah.
I didn't mention Xbox, for goodness sake.
Yes, right. Yeah. My gosh.
So, and then grocery right after that. And now intimates.
Yeah.
And I think that's my favorite part of these different roles
yeah.
is that you would make a huge mistake to go into a new role and assume that you've developed the playbook in the last job you were in, because it's not the same customer. Mm-hmm. There's no playbook. You've got to go in each time and think about who the customer is and what they need.
Right.
So, Chris, I'm curious, where does product roll up in Victoria's Secret? Does that roll up under you, or is that separate?
What did you say?
Product. Where does product roll up?
Product.
Does that roll up under you?
Product. Technology rolls up under our chief information officer. Okay. So then the two of us, of course, have to work incredibly closely to make that come together. And last year, we put a big investment in growing our team in Bangalore by 350 people so that we could really get after a lot of this digital transformation. So we made the decision in December. We started hiring in January. We got all 350 people hired last year. We started having a real impact on the business around summer, I think.
Okay.
And so we are really proud of the work we did last year to expand our digital capabilities. But this is the first real first year.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think at any given time before, we might have had 5 or 7 projects going. We counted them, 160 projects going at the same time.
Oh
now, of course,
gosh.
Some of those are tiny and some are huge.
Still, 160 is a big number.
It's a lot.
So that's a large roadmap, for
it
sure.
It is.
Well, yeah, so and the reason I asked that question, too, is I was curious, and it's good perspective in terms of how many projects you have going on, but I'm curious now in the role, let's like click into the role a little bit now since you've been in the position. So what are some of the changing dynamics you've seen with the customer at Victoria's Secret?
Mm.
That maybe you expected or didn't expect, but what are some of the things that you would note, particularly for the audience here, both live and watching at home? And then also, how are you thinking about the adaption of the process, the technologies, even the people at Victoria's Secret to meet those changing needs that you're identifying?
Oh, yeah, that's all the fun of the job,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, right?
So some of the things I would say that I've learned, this is a big one that I shared on Investor Day that I thought was really interesting, because Victoria's Secret is known for sexy. It's the one word that if you had to come up one word about our company. And so we're doing a lot of deep research with customers to figure out what does that mean to a customer.
Right.
And the most often answer we got to that question was matching bra and panties.
Okay.
No one would have guessed that. But that's really the point, right? That whatever you assume you know about a customer may not be right.
Yeah.
And what customers have really wanted in this product category for the last few years is comfort.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think this happened over the pandemic.
People
got used to, you know, rolling out of bed and into the office in about 10 minutes, right?
Exactly.
And people got used to a standard of comfort in their work attire
that
they're not willing to move back from.
Oh, God, no.
Yeah.
Not happening.
And so I think this is another big thing we've learned about customers. But, you know, it takes a lot of data and analysis to understand those changing trends and to figure out if you're rising up to meet the occasion yet. And, you know, we're still working on that. While we've done a lot of work to make our products more comfortable, you know, we were still thinking last Christmas would have a more glamorous element to it. And boy, people like the cozy PJs, you know? So we're learning a lot about customers, but you know, the amount of technology that we're building that's giving a signal as to what they're doing right now, how they're behaving, and whether or not we're connecting with them, I think, is what's important.
Right.
Because now, you know, we've got tens of millions of customers. We're trying to figure out exactly what they want from us next.
And what are some of those technologies that you're deploying, if you can be specific, around trying to help the Victoria's Secret customer essentially feel more comfortable day in and day out?
Mm-hmm. Well, I could go in a number of different directions. I'm going to start with our loyalty program.
Yeah, talk about that, because that's a big deal now.
And the reason I want to start with that is because we launched our loyalty program in June of last year. And, you know, we've known for years that we have very loyal customers. We have customers that have participated in our credit card for a number of years. And that's really been the way that we have interacted with our most loyal. But when we launched the loyalty program in June, it was because we knew that customers didn't want to just interact on a credit card. And so we launched the program with a number of benefits. And to date now, we have over 27 million people enrolled in our loyalty
program. It's unbelievable.
And, you know, what's really been a huge part of our success there is every person that walks in store and makes a purchase, we ask them to sign up for the program at the register.
Right.
So we're getting a lot more capture.
Right.
Now, I start with that because you can't do anything for a customer until you know who they are and what they want. Mm-hmm. And so now that we can capture a lot more about them and start observing their behaviors and then speaking to them on behalf of the behaviors they're demonstrating, now we get to get exciting about our recommendations to them.
So, Chris, I have to ask, they're giving their contact information at checkout, both online and in store. What are you giving them in return? And how, because 27 million is a lot of loyalty members. And I remember when we were first talking about this and you told me that, and I was like, I think I'm a loyalty member. I mean, I'm getting all the emails, but yes, I mean, I am. I double checked that night. But like, what for those new people who are coming back to Victoria's Secret or who are becoming members for the first time, what's the value trade-off for them?
Well, I think one of the big things that you want is the rewards points that you accrue.
Okay.
As primarily through purchasing actions, but there's some other things you can do to accrue loyalty points as well.
Okay.
And those points then, you know, are redeemed as rewards and discounts against things that you're purchasing in the future.
Right.
So that's one aspect of the program. But, you know, we've started having early access moments for limited supply products.
Okay.
And, you know, we're thinking about a number of other things we're going to do to make it an even better shopping experience for those who are coming back over and over again.
Which is a really important thing for a product like Intimates that you're getting on a repeat basis, that you're looking for more comfort. And you are rolling new products out all the time, too.
Oh,
so
yes.
I think to get incentivized to try some of those for the first time, because it's a difficult product category to purchase for.
It's very difficult. And I think then along the lines of comfort, you know, we've seen statistics that 80% of women are wearing the wrong bra.
Yes.
You know, going through their day wearing the wrong bra. So, you know, we take very seriously making sure that every woman who walks into one of our stores is asked if she'd like to have her sizing done,
yeah,
because that's a big part of the comfort equation. And, you know, recently, about a year ago, we launched a digital fit tool online,
yes,
as well, because, you know, we're thinking you want help in a home environment as much as you want help in a store environment. But the exciting thing we're doing this year for,
yes,
people that want to try on things at home is that we've just launched, not in a big splashy launch, more quiet so far, but we've just launched Home Try-On, which is a box you can sign up for as a,
yes,
subscription. And we'll send, you know, 7 or 8 items out in that box that we think match your expectations. You take a little quiz when you sign up,
yeah,
and you say the kind of things you like. And then we ship you a box once a month, and you can keep the things you enjoy and send back the things you don't. It's really easy to execute on.
Right.
So we think this is another thing in the lingerie area that, you know, trying these things on at home makes a big difference.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, and you're not even picking the things that you're going to try on. We are going to look at customers who are behaving like you,
mm-hmm,
and make recommendations about what we think you should try on. That's what's showing up in the box. You're not,
yes,
picking it explicitly.
Yes.
So I have now, because, you know, of course I'm in the beta program, I've received 2 boxes so far.
Yes.
I'm very excited about that. And before that, the company that Victoria's Secret bought, Adore Me,
yeah,
they had that program, and
okay,
I tried their version. And what I realized in that program is when you start getting this box on your doorstep every month, it's like a present to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't wait for it to show up,
yeah,
and open that box and,
yeah,
see what someone picked for you, even if it's like AI picked it for you.
Right, right. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
It's something new, yeah.
Chris, I'm curious about, you mentioned the fit tech side of things. Like,
yes,
the digital fit technology you guys have been deploying. So I'm curious, like, that's one of those things, Anne and I talk a lot about this on our weekly podcast, that's one of those technologies that it always feels like there's a great use case, but it's really hard to do it right and to execute it. And still feels like we're in mile one of the marathon in that whole race.
I agree.
So what have you learned that you could share with the audience here and back home, you know, as you've been undertaking that endeavor for lack of a better way to put it. I'm curious. What have you learned? What are the puts and takes with it?
Well, here's some things I would say. You know, we have tens of thousands of people using this.
Okay.
Not millions.
Right.
But tens of thousands. Mm-hmm. And it's enough that you would say, wow, if we're helping tens of thousands of customers find the right size by using this, this was a good investment for
us.
But one of the things that I've noticed about the way we decided to launch it is that we launched it as a, hi, do you need help with your fitting and styling? Mm-hmm. And so now it's sort of a, you know, longish process to kind of get through the questions and then the things that you have to do to use your phone to help you get sized. And, you know, what I'd love to see us do next is make it much more fluid and conversational, like you would get in a store environment.
Sure.
Because, you know, I just keep imagining, we've already perfected this art in a store environment. A customer walks in the door. We see she's carrying a lot of bags. We might say, oh, looks like you're doing a lot of shopping today. Have you had an opportunity to get a fitting for your bra?
Right.
You know, so what we get these visual cues. It tells us what to do next. We ask her if she wants a sizing. If it's a gentleman that comes in the door, we might say, are you shopping for a gift today? We're just trying to take visual cues that would tell us what's the right thing to do next.
Right.
And, you know, we aren't using cues online for that. But, boy, we've got a lot of cues we could use in digital as well that instead of then saying, would you like to take a quiz?
Yeah. hold your hands like this, please. Right. Yeah, yeah.
We could be saying, hi, would you like to get sized today? And we have a digital tool that can do that if you're interested. And so I am really interested in the use of video technology on digital that might make it feel more conversational than what our current experience is.
Oh,
so I just think that these things are things you have to experiment with over time.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about what you're doing in the fitting rooms, in the stores, too, because you've made some investments there in technology to help with fit, too. Tell the audience a little bit about that and you know, where that's headed.
There is a fitting room technology called Crave that we're using, and that it's, you know, a digital pad that's hanging on the wall in the fitting room, and you might have seen this in other places as well, but when a customer finds some products on the floor that they want to try on, they take them in the room. And the first thing that's really cool about this is because of RFID technology, as the customer walks in the room with, let's say, three different bras, those three different bras pop up on the screen and give all the details about the product.
Right.
So now she has the opportunity to try on the product while she can read about it and all the information that we would already have available there. And if the size doesn't work, she can click a couple buttons. The sales associate will come and pass the right sizes through.
Right.
So that she doesn't feel that she has to come and go from the fitting room. And again, in this particular product, it is such an intimate experience. People coming and going from the fitting room, you know, sometimes is appropriate, sometimes not. And
it's also make or break for some customers,
it
too.
Really
like
is.
Like, if they can't get that bra and they're in a hurry and they, you know, they have to wait for an associate, it makes sense. It
takes a lot of time.
Talk a little bit more, too. I imagine with RFID-enabled products that that's helping your associates also know more quickly what's in store. How have you been using RFID throughout the store experience?
Oh, yeah. You know, one of the fun ways that they use it is when they're going to fill a BOPUS order.
Yeah.
Sometimes they have to take the pad around the store and try and figure out where that thing is at. Right?
Yeah, they probably love it, too.
Right.
Before that, it was impossible.
Yeah.
Right. But there's, you know, there's all kinds of uses like that that are making it really a lot easier. We're using it in inventory control. We're using it in loss prevention. You know, there's a lot of different applications for the RFID.
Okay.
Chris, I'm curious too, because you talked about knowing your customer. One of the use cases that we like and have talked a lot about for RFID, you talked about it coming, the clothes coming into the fitting room. When you think about that, that's very analogous to the abandoned cart online.
Oh, yes.
Which you have a lot of experience with. It sounds like you're thinking about that. So are you thinking about that, number one, and then what are you learning about that, and where are you planning to take that whole idea next?
Well, we are getting a lot of great data on what customers are trying and then leaving, as opposed to what they're taking up the register to check out
with.
So we are getting this like pile of data that says these are the things people are trying on and not walking out the door with. The conversion, therefore, is much lower. And it's a signal to us on product questions we ought to have.
Yeah.
But what you do is you take that data, and we're just getting started with all this, believe me.
Oh, I bet, yeah.
But you cross-reference that against the reviews that you got.
Oh, cool.
You know, and the customer service contacts.
Yeah.
You've got a pretty good signal about what products resonate with customers which versus which ones do not.
Do you also have a signal to the other degree of like, hey, maybe I can retarget this one with some type of deal or some type of incentive to get them to interact with me online? Or is that not as an important part of the equation? I'm curious.
I would say we haven't figured out how to make that information personally relevant to the people that have done the try-ons yet.
Okay.
But where we are thinking about that type of thing is in our CRM, in customer relationship management, where we are now looking at, we're calculating the customer lifetime value for each of our customers and what actions drive an increase in customer lifetime value. So like downloading our app.
Yeah.
As soon as you download our app, you interact with us a whole lot more, right?
Yeah.
So that's a really good thing we want people to do. Mm-hmm. Going into the store to get a fitting, mm-hmm. that's something we want people to do. So what we're doing then is using all of the data to tell us when are the right moments for those things in a person's shopping journey and what is the most likely time that they will take that action and it will result in something positive for us both.
Right.
And so when do we surface that thing to them
yes.
so that they'll do it now? And that's what our whole focus for CRM is.
And I imagine that that's different based on demographic. I mean, I think something unique about Victoria's Secret is just the breadth of ages and you know, the diversity of people that you're serving as a retailer. How are you thinking about attracting or you know talking to each of those demographics differently? Are there
oh,
new
goodness.
Tools and technologies uh-huh. that you're using? Like I have to. I mean. I don't know many other retailers that are talking to that many different people throughout a variety of life stages.
Right.
So,
well, it's interesting because we think about it in terms of generations.
Yeah.
Because we observe the behaviors to be very different by
yeah.
generation, specifically in this product. In fact, I don't think that I found that to be a terribly useful tool in anywhere else that I've been
okay.
before this.
But okay.
It's incredibly useful to us.
Hmm.
But that's not the only segmentation. The segmentation that we do, there's like psychographic segmentation.
Okay.
So we've looked at all consumers for these products in North America, and then we've divided it into six different groups of customer types. One of them is the fashionista.
Yeah.
You've heard that word before.
Sure.
One of them is the modern minimalist. Okay, so if I just take those two customer groups, they are very different
yes.
in their values
yeah.
and what they want to try
right.
on. You know, this customer, I'd probably recommend a Body by Victoria.
Mm-hmm.
This customer, I'd probably recommend a Very Sexy.
Right.
You know, and so we're looking for those psychographic cues that are telling us what products they're interested in. And then we have like a value segmentation
right.
that tells us like what prices are they willing to pay? How often do they engage? How much do they spend?
Yeah.
So you cross-reference all of those things and you start getting to how often should you talk to someone in the top 10% of your customer base that's a fashionista and what would you say to her that's different than you would say to the modern minimalist to get them in the door?
Yes.
Right?
Right. And I mean, you've
my
been
head hurts.
Yeah, you've been transforming the stores too to reflect this. I mean,
yes.
Pink has got its own section now. You've been doing a lot of other explorations with the Victoria's Secret Store of the Future. Talk to us a little bit about that and how the things that you're talking about have kind of informed those decisions that you've been making
oh,
in the store.
Well, and one thing that we've done for the first time ever is we've always had this sexy projection at the front of the store.
Right.
For our big launch of the new Body by Victoria this month, we put Body by Victoria at the front.
Yes.
Because, you know, the way we want to think about it is, look, we need to appeal to different types of consumers. Having the same thing at the front all of the time isn't allowing us to talk to different people walking past us in the mall.
Yeah.
And frankly, you know, the lion's share of our customer acquisition is still in the mall.
Yes.
Just walking right past the door.
Right.
So we've really got to get that part right. That's been very interesting to us. Virtual back room. You know,
okay, what's that?
We're just getting more and more excited about virtual back room. It is, you know, what a lot of people would refer to as omni-channel, but it is, so we have Body by Victoria on the front table.
Mm-hmm.
You walk in and we help you out with that and we can't find your size. It's not there.
Yeah.
What are we going to do? We order it for you and have it shipped to your house in 2 days.
Okay.
On the sales floor so that you don't have to go home and place an order or anything like that. We're just doing it right on the sales floor.
Okay. And have you had to upgrade like devices or things? Like what have you had to implement in store to make that possible?
We are in the process of
okay.
doing that and you know changing some of our technology so that you can even check out on a much smaller device. but, you know, a whole ecosystem of being able to walk the floor with a small device and help customers individually is where we're going with our clienteling.
Right, yeah, I imagine there's a whole point of sale angle to that.
Yes.
I'm curious, Chris, what, putting you on the spot here too a little bit, what, from, you've had a lot of roles, what do you think are the most integral technologies to have right to create a great omnichannel experience?
Let's see, a great omnichannel experience. Well, you know, one thing that a customer like flows back and forth across the channels for is returns. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, maybe I'm starting at the end of the transaction, but what's really interesting about that is, you know, she may go to the store, find her body by Victoria, the size wasn't there, so it was ordered and shipped to her house, she gets it at the house, she tries it on, now what? If it works, great.
Yeah.
If it doesn't work, or if she wants more.
Yeah.
You know, so I think this online to offline, it's moving back and forth a lot. Returns specifically, when you get something at your house and it's not exactly right, a lot of our customers want to come back to the store and try something else on.
Yeah.
But, you know, the returns in the store environment, we timed it. It's taking 11 minutes to process a return at the register.
Wow.
That's terrible for the lines in the store. It's terrible for customer
service.
Even with RFID. So what we're working on is how do you streamline that whole process so that it's better for the customer making a return, but it's also better for the rest of the customer standing in line behind that customer.
Oh, I've been behind those people before.
Yes.
Everybody has, I'm sure.
And give her a lot more choices about how she might choose to make the return. Mm-hmm. We love it when she comes back to the store because she engages with us again. We've just got to make that really easy for her.
Right.
Are you thinking about evolving your queuing process then too? If it's, you know, because specialty apparel is always interesting because they've got, the, you know, this, everyone's staying in the same line, right?
Yeah.
And so you get stuck behind the return, it's always a challenge. So are you looking and evaluating that too as part of that? I'm curious.
We're thinking about different options. I'm less interested in someone being able to do self-checkout in our environment. But I'm more interested in what this little mobile POS device in your hand might be able to do for line busting.
Yes.
Particularly if you're one of our best customers and you've just tried something on in the fitting room, perhaps you can just be checked out right there in the fitting room as you're standing there.
Right.
So we plan to experiment with how mobile POS is really going to assist us with line busting.
Chris, one theme that we've been consistently talking about, I would say, just especially over the last month or so, I would say, Chris, is how you're giving consumers confidence in making purchases online. We talked about the mobile app to determine fit from home. You talked about the subscription boxes. But are there any other tools that you're using? And, I mean, I know generative AI is one that a lot of companies are using to help do this, but...
And we're 28 minutes in, and it's the first time you said
I know, I'm sorry. Forgive me. But but you also mentioned, like, video is something that you're exploring down the road, too, to have more of a conversation with her as she's considering her purchase. Can you talk a little bit about, especially for an intimates category, how you're working on creating that same experience for the consumers at home as they're having when they have an associate in the fitting room with
them? Well, you know, one of the things we're exploring right now is how to use video technology on a detail page where influencers can start talking about how they experienced the product and how they made the most of the product.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have recently launched with Duel, a platform for acquiring many more influencers.
Okay.
So, you know, we had a very... I would say, hand-managed group of influencers historically.
Yeah.
But we don't want that anymore. We want to open that up to the whole world and let everyone be an influencer if they want to. So then we can take content from that platform and reinsert it into our detail pages where if you're interested in Body by Victoria, let's have five different influencers that have experienced it and loved it tell you what they loved about it and why.
Sure.
And I think that this is really just the maturation of like customer reviews and how that's always helped you online make a decision. And now it's just going to be much more visual than it was in the past.
So is it anybody that tags Victoria's Secret in their post, or how are you gathering those influencers?
You sign up to be part of the program.
Okay, so it's still part of a program.
It's still part of a program, and you sign up for it. And we're just getting more and more people to sign up and opening up the doors to have more people sign up as time goes on.
So it's not those five key influencers that have so many followers. You're really gathering more information from more people, more body types, that kind of thing.
Exactly.
Okay.
I was kind of ribbing Ann there on the generative AI thing, but I think, you know, we'd be remiss if we didn't ask for your quick take on it, your quick hot take on it. How are you looking at that? Like,
very exciting. Like everybody else, I've been trying to figure out like exactly how are we going to use this. This is where I want to use it first.
Okay.
Where I want to use it first is in store.
Okay.
I want to use it to help sales associates. You know, we've been, you know, working very hard to take cost out and to really, you know, try and be expense conscious in this period of time. I think everybody's focused on that. Everybody's always focused on that. But, you know, what are we going to do to make it easier for the sales associate to help the customer? And I think that little device that they'll have on the sales floor could also be a little device that answers any question a sales associate might ever have about anything, any product, any promotion, any company policy. You know, is Body by Victoria on sale today?
Yeah.
Oh, 20% off. Thank you. All right. And do we have any extra coupons? Oh, yes, we do have extra coupons. And maybe even eventually... And are you part of our loyalty program? Oh, well, if you give me your phone number, I can tell you three different recommendations we've got for you online that we'd like to make for you.
Right.
I can even see using this device to make us even more personal with customers that come in store. So I think this is first helping our sales associates help our customers. And then eventually, you know, maybe some of this information helps us to make it a self-service environment for customers.
Interesting.
But they really want help.
Yeah, that's one area where I feel like just over the sessions we've heard in the past 24 hours since Shop Talk started, that there's been a lot of discussion about is what kind of tools and investments are being made into the store associate, you know, whether it's the handheld devices that they're working on or just giving them the platform and access to the headquarters teams to really be facilitating that like feedback loop about what's really happening in the stores and then helping headquarters make those decisions. Is that something that you're thinking about at Victoria's Secret? And where are some of the other spaces you're thinking about investing in improving the lives of the store associates?
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, the way we're thinking about the two-way interactions they'll have with this, you know, if we bring all this information to them.
Yeah.
That they'll be able to react to the information that they're given and send signal back to us if they think that the answers they're getting are not good ones.
Okay.
So that we can improve those. I mean, it could be a simple thumbs up, thumbs down on the recommendations you're getting.
Right.
You know, but then what happens is over time that gets better and better to where it's, you know, the AI itself is an expert that knows everything it needs to know.
Right.
And so I think between using that type of technology and then the other thing is like prompts at the registers and other places so that they don't have to remember all the things.
Right.
You know, did you ask them if they're in the loyalty program? Did you ask them if they want a credit card? Did you take a sizing today?
Right.
Did you, you know?
Right.
It just makes it a lot easier.
Right.
It's great to hear, though, that that's the first place you're thinking about deploying that. Appreciate the candor, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you get that from everybody, so that's great.
Right.
Shop Talk. Let's talk about Shop Talk a little bit. What Shop Talk is this for you?
Ooh, you know, you're not going to believe this, but I think this is my first Shop Talk.
First Shop Talk?
Because I went to grocery shop before.
That's right.
Oh,
okay.
Right.
You did. That's right.
Forget
it.
That's true.
So kind of one, but maybe
it's
more,
the same.
Too.
Yeah,
yes.
Right?
Same
thing.
Yes.
So I'm curious, like, Ann and I always love to ask this question, too. Like, what are you looking to get out of this show? Like, you know, it's a great networking opportunity. There's a lot of great content here. What are you looking forward to taking in?
Well, we'll stick on the store for a minute.
Okay.
You know, there are so many technologies that have targeted digital for so long. It just feels like everybody is focused on digital. I would really love to figure out how to bring to bear this technology to make the store experience an even better one.
Okay.
So, you know, I'm just really excited about some of the things I've seen out there where, you know, you can get a lot more data on what customers are doing in a store environment. So you can start using that to make better store merchandising decisions, for example.
Right.
You know, let's see what else. There's a lot of software in the marketing space where people are starting to talk about how you can support your stores to a different degree than what you have in the past.
Okay.
But those are the kinds of things I'm really on the watch for on this trip.
Okay.
Got it. So you're saying like technologies allow you to attribute or understand what the person is doing inside that physical store, so you can correlate that data back to everything else you've talked about.
Yes. So like right now, we know what mall traffic is, and we know what our traffic is. I don't actually know the number of feet that pass by the front door.
Right.
But I could. Yeah. And then that's actually a better conversion number than just knowing how many people were in the mall that day.
Right, exactly.
And then I can start seeing when they come in the door, what do they go to first?
Right. Yeah.
Is it what I think they are or not? And it was really fascinating. I was telling you that we just put Body by Victoria on the front tables, mm-hmm. and we put Very Sexy in the back. We were worried about putting Very Sexy in the back.
I can imagine.
Mm-hmm. Not a problem. She finds it.
Yeah.
So it really depends on the product and where you put it and whether it's going to be a draw all the way through to the back, like the milk at the grocery store.
Right, right? Exactly, exactly. It's funny, Winnie Park, the CEO of Forever 21, was on stage talking about that same thing. Like, they've changed their model. They eliminated 30% of their SKUs in order to, you know, make the shopping experience easier, and then they're rotating what's in front of store every 2 weeks. And we were just talking about this at dinner last night. I was like, you know, when I was working in retail, it was like 6 to 8 months between, you know, six to eight weeks between changes of product sets. I mean, is that something that you think you'll continue to do in order to keep the store fresh and attracting that new customer that's walking by?
I think we're going to be doing a lot of exploration on what goes to the front of the store, you know, and in pink, it may not be sport apparel, it may be something else. And, you know, I think we're getting a lot more sophisticated about realizing that it's not just we want new customers. Mm-hmm. We want new customers, but to appeal to new customers, you have to appeal to many different types of people.
Yeah.
So that's the reason for moving things around.
Right.
It's really not... it's really not that the customer's shopping that often. It's that you're trying to capture different types of customers.
Right. And different occasions, right? I mean, I think that's the interesting thing, too. Like, I'm not just the Body by Victoria might be my everyday bra, but there's still a very sexy occasion. And, like, how are you allowing your associates to help facilitate that purchase for me, whether it's a Body by Victoria day or a Very Sexy day or both?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the other thing is that we have done a not very good job for years in sports bras and in bathing suits.
Yeah.
But this is a whole extra purchase occasion, mm-hmm. particularly in the spring.
Yeah.
This is important to us.
Yes.
So we're getting a lot more knowledgeable about, you know, how to get our very best customers to shop all of those categories.
Yes.
Chris, I'm curious, you envision in your role too, given your background, like, trying to understand the store like you'd understand a website? Like, is that what you're aspiring to?
Well, that's what I'm aspiring to, because I enjoy looking at it.
I
love the funnel.
Yeah.
I don't think every chief customer officer at a retailer would necessarily say that. So,
yeah.
But that is what you're aspiring to.
I think the more data you have, the better decisions you can make. And I think, you know, retail is always going to be a blend of art and science, but the more science we can bring to the retail store equation, where we haven't always had the capability to do this, I think that we can serve customers a lot better in that form as well.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you've got some of that set up already, like with the RFID going into the fitting room.
Yes.
Right.
You know what's being left in the cart. Maybe the page view analogy we don't quite have yet. That's kind of the elusive thing, but that could be coming soon.
Yes.
It's very neat.
Well, Chris, any exciting announcements to leave us with or things we should be on the lookout for as we're walking by the Victoria's Secret stores or online?
I would say, you know, I mentioned this before, but I think it's the most exciting thing we're doing this year, which is the home try-on.
Yeah.
I think that's super exciting. And, you know, we are going to keep building out our loyalty program because we're so excited about the way it's working. So expect to see more features and benefits coming there in the future, too.
I will be. I'm excited. And a new Body by Victoria brought a check out this month, too.
Well, and I think what you'd see next week is our new sports bra.
Ooh. Oh.
So, you know, this is really just building out some things that we've been trying already. But this is an area where comfort matters, and we're going to speak to her in that way.
Amazing. Well, Chris, thank you so much for taking the time with us today. Thanks to all of you who have joined us here in studio. We'll be back tomorrow at 2:45 Pacific with the live Fast Five.
A weekly podcast.
Yes.
We can do it live.
Yes. So make sure to come stop by and join us. Chris, you and I are headed on stage next, so we'll be talking about the changing consumer preferences, or we'll continue this conversation. So please join us there if you're here. Otherwise, I guess until next time.
Yeah, Chris and Ann Redo here.
That's right. The other Chris and Ann Redo.
Right. Yes. Oh my gosh, I need to keep my job here, Ann. Yes, I'm a little worried. But yes, no, thank you to everyone for tuning in. Thanks to Chris again for being
here.
Thank you. As always,
it's a delight.
Be careful out there.